Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a big girl.
Hey girl, hey, I am Kim A and welcome to Big Girl Chronicles, where we are not skinny, but we are good and plenty, okay? Big Girl Chronicles is a show for all my plus size queens, and we are here to rewrite your life script and teach you how to love yourself unapologetically.
Hello everyone, happy Saturday to you. I hope you all are having a great Saturday. Thank you for tuning in today. Guess who's back? My husband, Chez, is back. And we are here to talk about grief and how it affects ourselves and how it affects others. There's been a lot of loss going on lately. You know, well, people are dying every day. It just seems as if it's just a lot more random and just all the time, you know, just people I know, whether it's friends or family, it just seems like every couple of weeks there's a death. Every couple of weeks someone else is gone, and people you wouldn't even imagined or someone you may have talked to just a few minutes ago or just yesterday, and then to hear that they're gone. So I would like us just to have a conversation and know that this is a space and a community where if you're going through or experiencing grief at this time, that you're not alone, and we're here to support you. And my husband knows firsthand what this feels like, especially when it's your immediate family. And I'll let him talk about it. You know, if it's your immediate family or a friend or an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a sister or a brother, mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, whomever, even a coworker. There's a lot of people out here who doesn't even have an immediate family but have gone close to a neighbor or a friend or a coworker. And when that person leaves, that's very hard to manage and deal with. So especially in the middle of a pandemic, and who would have thought in a pandemic that this would have happened like this, you know? And I even seen people on the news and, you know, wishing they either got the vaccine, and to each their own, that's your choice, you know, but to see their families on their deathbed or with breathing tubes or on a breathing machine, it's hard to deal with. But I'll let my husband speak on it.
So, yeah, it's, you know, as life goes, we all experience loss. And when it's those that we love and cherish the most and the people that are closest to us, it makes a very impact in our lives and how we move forward. And especially during this time of COVID-19 and just in life in general, whether you've lost somebody through sickness or through unforeseen reasons, car accidents, plane crashes, freak accidents at home, those things that happen when they're unannounced and you don't have any type of preparation, not to say that you're ever purposely
right
in tune with somebody passing, but when those things happen, it creates a very big void and vacuum in your life. I know it has for my life. As I've said before, I've lost my immediate family. My grandmother's gone. My brother passed away. My mother passed away. My mom was my mom and father. So I have no one else. All of my childhood memories, everyone that I've grown accustomed to under one roof, are no longer alive. And that creates a very big precipice to try to cross over each and every day. And it's not something that you get over within a day or a week or a month or a year. You never get over it at all. Anyone that tells you that it's just something that goes by the wayside as time progresses, I truly in my heart, from my own perspective, don't necessarily believe in that. But what I do believe in is the ability to try to move upon that echelon of loss to activity and creation, creating a relationship with those that are within your support network, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your friend, whether it's a coworker, whether it's somebody within the church. Just having some type of connection allows for you to build where you suffered the most devastating, destructive, cataclysmic loss that anyone or anybody in life ever faces, and that's the loss of a loved one.
Exactly, and I agree. And I would like us to stay on what you mentioned. There's no timetable. There's no time frame. You know, someone passes away and then you are told, oh, just keep moving. And I understand the intention of someone who feels like they're supporting or encouraging you, you know, but don't let anyone tell you what's the time frame of, oh, you should already be over it. I don't care if it's 10 years from now, you know, or it may not be ever for you. And that's okay. Don't feel guilty or bad about it, you know, because you're still grieving, you know. But I would like us to touch on how people feel like there should be some type of time frame. What do you think?
There's not really any type of time frame, you know, to any type of significant loss. It's not like you know, for me, you know, I've had people say, oh, you know, well, you have these things and you should just keep moving, and mm-hmm. like it's a foregone conclusion. It's not like losing a billfold, or you lose your cell phone in the parking lot or at the movie theater. Or
right.
It's very more complex than that. You know, sometimes people don't understand true loss until it affects them.
Say that
so,
again.
You know, with that, like I said, you know, people don't, understand true loss until it happens to them directly, whether it is their own mother, their own father, their own sister or brother, their own child. I watched my mother bury a child. I don't know how much more painful that can ever be, is to watch a parent outlive someone that they carried in their womb for 9 months and then gave birth to. That type of unsurmountable pain that you can literally see, not only feel spiritually, but physically, that is something that isn't a light switch moment where you just, oh, well, it's been 9 months, you have this going for you, so just focus on that. It's not that easy. It's very much more, jaded than that. It's very much more complex. When people say those timelines, is because in their minds they have dealt with things differently, and that's to them. You know, I'm not anyone's judge, but I do know for myself and what I've told other people who have experienced loss, that when you have a calendar date and you're putting this calendar date onto something that doesn't fit in the construct of something that can be easily indexed or referenced, what you're doing is burying those hidden emotions, feelings, spiritual connections. And then you're putting it in a nice little box, something neat in the back of your subconscious, and you're trying to act like that it doesn't exist. Unfortunately, what ends up happening is later on down the road, whether you're in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, Lord willing, you live to be 70, 80, into the hundreds, you know, that magical box you put away will reemerge to something that you will not recognize or be able to control. People all have vices. I go to a New York Times article that I read about the victims' families of those during 9/11, during the terrorist attacks.
Right.
And they were, you know, told that, you know, well, these things are happening. The government's here for you. This and that is here for you. These programs have been created for you. You'll be okay. Statistically, more than 70% of the victims' families turn to substance abuse, whether that's narcotics or alcohol abuse. Those things is because you know, you can try to bury things, but it's not easy to do so. And you have a construct of people putting that into this, well, by July 45th or 25th, sorry, you should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what really is happening in their real world. In that article, they explain that every year they turn on the news and they relive the loss of a loved one live on TV being replayed year after year, anniversary after anniversary. And the same thing applies to those that have lost people. Anniversary dates come up, birth dates come up, significant moments in that calendar date of how we put our year comes up. So when you're trying to put a, oh, I'll be over it in that same calendar, it's never going to work. It's never going to fit like that because there's going to be an emotional trigger point that's going to come around and it's going to reemerge itself to something that is very painful. And it's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel lost at times. Death is nothing that is was ever designed for us to take as joyful to lose a person we love.
Exactly. And I agree, and it does just because maybe you have a belief, you know, or religion in God. My husband and I, we definitely have a strong relationship with God. And it doesn't mean that we're less believing in God. Doesn't mean that we don't trust God. It's okay to feel natural emotions, that loss, that grief. I will always say, don't be overcome with it, but yes, grieve. Jesus Christ himself wept. He grieved the loss of his friend Lazarus, even knowing he was going to raise him up. He was going to be alive again. And I feel just that humanity right there, that moment of I'm human right there, just from Jesus Christ alone lets us know that it's okay to be angry, to be sad. It's okay when life happens or when death comes of our loved ones. It's okay to grieve them.
Absolutely. It's okay. And that grieving is trying to develop something that is using that raw emotion into something. Like I said, it's never going to be a yin and yang positive from such tragedy. But what you can do is try to find something to take that raw energy that's going to be ever present and apply it to something or to someone that will be of a benefit. And that is where you're transferring of that power and energy of total devastation into, as I said before, creativity or creation, love and respect and admiration. A lot of people are dealing with a lot of different things, and that raw energy may be the fuel you need where others don't have the energy or the fuel to deal with other subjects matters.
Right.
That may be happening within your local community, may be happening within your local church. Our minds stay busy all the time. Every whether you're awake and conscious, you're thinking of something. Your brain is constantly functioning. That's the Lord's design. It's never without thought or moment of thought. And maybe taking that energy and applying it to, you know, outreach, to applying it to helping those who are homeless within the community, to, you know, starting a new art project or a new hobby that helps others. There's a way of transferring that energy, and that's the best kind of advice I can kind of give for how to move the one's mind from dwelling on the loss to applying it to something that, like I said, 30, 40 years down the road, when you look back, it's not a mystery box that you reopen. It's something that you can reflect back on because, unfortunately, we will all perish. There's not one of us that will live forever in this spectrum. Of course, through Jesus Christ, will, you know, our spirit and soul will live forever eternal through him. But in this dimension, in this physical realm, our bodies all have expiration date. And, you know, before we reach that date, having dealt with losing someone we love, that we cherish, that we thought would never happen to that person, having something we've built upon their legacy and looking back on that is, I find, is one of the most memorable tributes and use of that ability to continue to want to, you know, move forward. I don't encourage anyone to turn to a vice such as alcohol, or drugs, or being promiscuous. Those things have even more ripple effects and more consequences down the road. Anyone that says, well, you can just, you know, you only live once. Well, of course it's true. You only live once in the spectrum, but don't turn the grief into a crutch that becomes an ailment for you to just make bad decisions. I've seen a lot of people make a lot of bad choices based on anger.
Yeah.
And that's not what anyone is saying, including my wife or I. What we're trying to say is that, you know, it's okay to be mad, but take that energy and then apply it somewhere else that is not destructive to yourself or to others. It's easy to want to beat yourself up, but that's not what the Lord wants you to do. That's not the right thing. And I'm sure that's not what any of the loved one that you may have lost would want you to do. But just do something positive with that, or something where you're not even having an emotional attachment, but just don't turn to the snares of the devil enticing you to think that, there's nothing to live for when there is.
That's really good. These are good tips, you know, for those who are in this moment or in a space where this is overcoming or overwhelming to me. And I don't know what else to do because I really miss my loved one that's gone. So this is really good tips, especially coming from my husband who's experienced a great deal of tragedy and loss from someone who really means so much to him. And then as someone, you know, me being on the opposite end of this, you know, as a supporter, you know, I would like to encourage those who are in support of someone who's lost or who's lost a loved one who is grieving, excuse me. You know, my advice is just be a listening ear. I wouldn't tell that individual, you know, well, they're up there in heaven, which we know they are, you know, but I wouldn't say, you know, just get over it or, you know, or move on or, you know, it'll be fine. Also, don't take things personal. You know, I'm glad, babe, that you touched on anniversaries and holidays. You know, some of those days come up and then it brings up those memories again, and just be there for the individual. That individual may want to spend some time alone, and that's okay. As a supporter, don't take it personal. You know, I have to work through that a lot myself, you know, because I just wanted to be there for my husband and others that I know have experienced a lot of loss the best way I know how. So I really strongly encourage, if you want to be there for someone who's grieving, just do that. Just be there, you know, and then maybe, hey, would talk about, hey, well, what did your loved one like to do? Do you want to go and do that? You know, I suggest that as well. But as someone who is grieving, what type of support do you feel that those who are grieving truly need?
It's more the support of just emotional and spiritual support. Each person may need things in a different way. Let's say you live with someone where that person was the caretaker of the house or provided meals, and you're a friend of somebody, maybe cook for them once in a while. You know, you might have leftovers, they're going rotten in the refrigerator, you're going to throw it out in a couple of days. Why not, you know, invite them over for dinner? That loved one that they lost, that used to be their trademark. You know, they might have, you know, each specific thing. For me, it was that my mom and I talked every single day of my natural life. There wasn't a day, maybe once or twice or a few days here and there, that I didn't speak with her and we didn't talk about everything under the sun. There was never a filter between me and my mom. We had open dialogue all the time. And that's what I love and miss so much about my mom, was that I can always pick up the phone, no matter what time of day, what time of hour, and talk. So to me to have that ability to be able to talk and have someone listen through my wife, you know, gave me the ability to not get into a shell and become isolated, because then, again, that's a destructive path. When it's bad enough that you've lost someone in the physical spectrum, but having that as a support that I needed to have that continuity of being able to be open, to be vulnerable, to have someone that's not judging me, but just wants to listen, wants to love, wants to learn, wants to help, wants to encourage, everything that represents positivity, I needed that. So that was my support that I needed for me personally. But for others, it may be other things. Like I said, it may be whatever that person meant to you. If you know someone on the other end and you're the other end of the spectrum, they've lost somebody, and you know that those things that they needed, try to fill that gap. Like I said, whether it's cooking meals, whether it's, you know, going on walks, whether it's taking a ride together, maybe that person had a favorite book buddy, you know, offer to read a book, you know, have a book of the week, or pick something from Barnes and Noble. There's a lot of Audible books. If you don't have, you know, time or availability, especially with a lot of things being put at home, you can listen to an audio book and still follow along, and then maybe call that friend up or that loved one up and say, hey, did you, you know, go over the chapter that you just read and have a discussion. You don't really understand the monumental impact that has onto that person that's going through it the most, knowing that there's someone else that actually is going to be there that is genuinely trying to fill in that void with love.
And can I add really quick, it's after the individual's laid to rest, it's after all the food is gone at the repast, this is my opinion, but it's after that, that's when the support is really needed. You know, I know we give the hugs at the funerals. We say, anytime, call me, anytime, I'm here for you. Any time of night, any day. And then when that person does reach out, then, and I know life happens, but then you're not there, you know, and I get that. But I always said, it's after the food is eaten, after everyone went back home, after the services, that's when the support is needed the most.
Yeah, my wife's absolutely right. That's when it's needed the most. That's when it's most paramount. Within that 90-day spectrum, according to psychology, is when a person will either take one path to self-destruction or the other path to self-healment and enlightenment. And that's a given fact. In my life, I've had people say that they're, you know, call me, I'm always available. And when I called them on it, literally, they were unavailable there by the wayside. And that was very detrimental to me. If, again, like I cannot preach this much, how much I admire and respect and love my wife, if she was not in place, there was a strong possibility that I would have taken a different path, because there was so many broken promises. The worst thing you can do, coming from someone who's lost their entire immediate family, is to tell someone, oh, I'll be there, call anytime, and then you blow them off. You don't answer your phone. You don't want to hang out. You don't want to meet up for lunch. You're always busy. You're always preoccupied. You don't have any time whatsoever to accommodate them in any which way, whether that's something as simple as just praying with them to literally just hearing them on the other end of the phone, or, which is even more of the icing on the cake, telling them that the emotions that they are going through are somehow unjustified, unmerited, or unresponsive to what just took place. That is one of the most devastating things you can tell to someone who's lost a loved one, that, oh, you should be happy right now. Things like that are counterproductive because you're making a very big gap between the reality that they're facing to the reality of perspective to what you're facing. You may know someone, but this person was someone's parent, someone's sister, someone's brother, someone's loved one. Like you're looking at it from a different angle, and you always have to have that paramount that the relationship you may have had with that person who is now deceased is totally different in spectrum to the person who is directly related or akin to that person who lost that same individual. So when you try to put yourself in a perspective, make sure you're putting it in their perspective, not yours, and trying to say, well, I'm fine, so they should be fine. And that's just how life is. Very, very discouraging to do, coming from experience.
Absolutely. Wow, this was good. And we're already at our time, but you know, we wanted to let you all know out there, especially with this pandemic going on and natural disasters that we're seeing, and, you know, with the floods or fires out there throughout the world, you know, if you're listening in, you're not alone. You are not alone. Please email me, reach out to us on my social media. And if you need someone to talk to, we will talk back, you know, and we can and will continue this conversation. This was so good, and I hate that we have to cut this short, but we will continue this. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Thank you again to now Big Girl Chronicles has 100 or now over 100 followers on Instagram. I appreciate your support, and look out for more to come, and we will continue this conversation.
Thanks. Have a good one.